I know you've all listened attentively, so I don't need to quiz you. Open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. This verse is vitally important to understand and apply to our lives. If you are a born-again Christian, this verse is absolutely vital to your life. This is the only thing we're going to focus on this morning. Read with me. Paul says, "Do not get drunk on wine, which leads to debauchery." He says, "Instead, be filled with the Spirit." Two things. He's giving us two commands. On the one hand, there's a negative command, a do not do something. And on the other hand, there is a positive, yes, command. It's a command to be filled with the Spirit. It's not an optional thing. If you're to live your life as a Christian, Christianity is not just a philosophy of life. Christianity is a life. It's the life of God lived out in tangible form. It's a brand new life. And it can only be lived in the power of God's Spirit that He's given us. You cannot live the Christian life. You cannot live as a Christian to God's glory in the power of your own strength. You can live a moral life. You can live a good life. You can live an honorable life, an upright life, turning away from evil, doing good. But unless it is in the power of the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, it is tantamount to wood, hay, and stubble, and it will all be burned up. And so hence, it's very, very important that we understand what it means to be filled with the Spirit. Let's look at the negative command first, quickly. I don't want to dwell on it a lot, but we have to address it. Paul says, do not get drunk on wine. He's talking about drunkenness. That's the biblical term for alcoholism. Compulsiveness with alcohol or drugs or some other substance. The idea behind it is he has been talking to us about we're new creations. We put off the old. We're no longer living the old life. We put on a new life, and hence we are living a new life. Drunkenness is characteristic of darkness. It's characteristic of foolishness. It's characteristic of the old way of living. You don't have to have been an alcoholic to know that. You don't have to have been a drug addict to know that. All he's doing is he's pointing us to something that is characteristically obvious of the old way of living. He says, in a sense, don't go back to the old ways of living. If you're a Christian, you're to live by a different power. Now, all of us have needs, don't we? We want to be liked. We need to be liked, appreciated, valued, happy, joyful, significant, worthwhile. Can you relate to any of that? Every human being is born with an emptiness. Every human being is born with a big hole inside, a vacuum that only God can fill. But the devil has blinded our eyes. That's what the Bible says. We live in darkness. That's what the Bible says. And so we don't really understand. I mean, we have a sense. We know that there's this emptiness in us, and we find ourselves going about in every avenue, every way, trying to fill it. Some people try to fill it with food. Some people try to fill it with drugs. Some people try to fill it with alcohol. Some people try to fill it with sex. Some people try to fill it with new car, new house, money, power, prestige, you name it. These are the ways of the world, foolishness and darkness, to fill up that empty hole. And those, these some of these things give us a momentary relief. It's only that, momentary, temporary. It's not lasting. It's artificial. Doesn't lead to any greater spiritual sensitivity. And very often, especially with the alcohol and drugs and so forth, leads to even greater problems than we had to begin with. Don't we want to be happy? Don't we want to have no joy in our life, and peace, those kinds of things? We have a longing for that. Is that legitimate? Absolutely. These are God-given desires. And they're God-filled desires too. You cannot be truly happy apart from the Lord. You can't be truly fulfilled. You can't know joy apart from the Lord. That's a reality. If you've ever been to one of our baptisms, we hear the testimonies of people, the candidates for baptism, as they come along and they talk and they share about they got saved and what the Lord delivered them from. So, and over and over and over, you're almost astounded at the number of people who've been involved in drugs, alcohol, illicit sex, and so forth. Things in their life that have just entrapped them. What were they trying to do? They were trying to what? Feel safe, secure, involved. Get over the bumps. Deal with grief and sorrow and the pain of feeling insecure, insignificant, however you want to describe it. Trying to fill that emptiness. But you hear these testimonies time after time after time. Lord delivered me from alcoholism. 19 years old, 18 years old. Lord delivered me from 20 years of heroin addiction. Incredible things. Does mankind have a dilemma? Why do we have gangs? You know why we have gangs? People have this incredible need to belong. Community. What's the church? A community. And wherever they go, if they go someplace and they feel accepted, they feel important, even if it's evil, they'll do it. In Ephesus also, drunkenness and alcohol and so forth and various drugs and potions were used to enhance their worship experience. Pagan worship. To heighten their, quote, spiritual sensitivity. Actually, what happened is that they'd just gotten into drunken stupor and they were absolutely disoriented, thinking so blurred, perceptions so foggy that they didn't know what was going on. And so they mistook whatever they were experiencing for some kind of ecstatic spiritual experience. They were in communion with their gods. When in fact they were being overrun and overwhelmed by demonic influences. They're blithering idiots. That isn't worship. God means for us when we worship to be clear-minded. To understand who we're worshiping, why we're worshiping, and that He's worth worshiping. And yet, you know, we get caught off sometimes in thinking that we'll be more spiritual if somehow we are helped by some substance. The whole drug culture. You kind of achieve some higher sense of consciousness if you can just get loaded. I used to believe that. I used to do that before I became a Christian. Heavy into drugs, legally and illegally. Cocaine, marijuana, heroin. I know what it's about. I used to make such profound statements. I'd get loaded with my friends. And we'd make these profound statements such as, "Wow, man." really spiritual. Heavy. Groovy. Far out. Good, I forgot that one. Far out. We'd become one with the all-nothingness together. We'd just blank out. We'd pass out is what we did. We think, boy, how cool. You see, we're enlightened. Gross. Gross. We didn't see it. We didn't understand it. We didn't understand what we were doing. We thought we were on the trail to enlightenment. We'd been led astray. You want to know spiritual power? You want to know spiritual enlightenment? You want to know spiritual growth? You want to be in communion with God? You want a real spiritual experience that will make your head swim? You want that emptiness filled up? You want to be happy? You want to be full of joy? Be filled with the Spirit of God. Amen. You be filled with the Spirit of God. Does God want to fill His people? Yes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Now, just as the first part of that, verse 18, was a negative command, He says, do not do that. Instead, do this. The second half is a positive command. You must understand this. Being filled with the Spirit is not optional. It is a command. God expects us to obey Him by being filled with His Spirit. Now, let me give you some insight into the word that He uses. It's plerao. And what He means is this. It's a very distinctive word. It's a present tense word. That means continuously, all the time, be filled. It's passive in its voice. That means it's something that happens to you. You don't fill yourself. You make yourself available continuously for the Holy Spirit to fill you, to act upon you and in you. And then thirdly, it's in the imperative mood. That's the mood of command. It is a command to be continuously filled by the Spirit of God. Literally, that word means be being kept filled. Be, you be in a state of being kept filled. That's what that word means. Now, again, as I said, it's a command. It's not an option. And if we don't obey that command, now get this, if we don't obey that command, we can't obey any other command the Lord gives us. You can be moral, you can be upright, you can be turning away from evil, but the point is, what you do will not bear fruit to the glory of God. Why? Because it's not done in the power of God's Spirit. It's done in your flesh. It's essentially wood, hay, and stubble, not precious stones. You can't do God's will without God's Spirit. You can't do God's things God's way without His power and ability. So that's what we're talking about with respect to this constant be being kept filled. All the time. Be being kept filled with God's Spirit. Now, every Christian, if you're a born-again Christian, you are a true Christian. People come and they say, I say, are you a Christian? They say, oh yes, but I'm not one of those born again. Then you're not a Christian. And they look insulted. I just open it up and I just show them what Jesus says it. You've got to be born again. Now every Christian, true Christian, is baptized in the Holy Spirit, is indwelt by the Holy Spirit, and is sealed by the Holy Spirit. Three sovereign works of God. He's baptized in the Holy Spirit. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 13. He says, we are all baptized by one Spirit into one body. To be baptized in the Spirit means that God has immersed you, made you one part of the body of Christ. It's a miraculous event that he sovereignly does. Nowhere in the Bible are we commanded to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Nowhere in the Bible are we commanded to be indwelt. That's a sovereign work of God. God dwells in us. When we become a Christian, he baptizes into the body of Christ. The Holy Spirit takes up residence in here. And he becomes my seal. I'm sealed in the Spirit. We read about that in Ephesians chapter 1. Now, all three of those events, baptizing, indwelling, and sealing, are sovereign works of God. And nowhere in the Bible are we commanded to be baptized, indwelt, or sealed. God just does those. But here, we are commanded to be filled. Every Christian, regardless of whether he's baptized, indwelt, sealed, that's true of every Christian. But it's not true of every Christian that he is filled. Hence the command from God to be filled. And unless we're filled, we can't do his will. Does that make sense? Now, let me describe to you, let me give you kind of a feeling of the word plerao that Paul uses to describe kept being filled, or being kept filled. When you talk about being filled with the Spirit, you have in your mind, you picture this idea of like you're a glass being filled with water. You have that idea? We talk about being filled with the Holy Spirit. It's like you're a vessel. Ooh, I'm filled up. Well, so what? Now I'm filled. What now? That's not all it means. That word has some other connotations. And I want to give you these other connotations because they all, interwoven together, give you a much fuller understanding of what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. Not only are we filled up like with a vessel filled up with water, that word also connotes this. The idea of, and it's used in certain places to describe, the wind filling the sails of a ship. And as the wind fills the sails of the ship, it bears the ship along. It carries the ship along. So if you're being filled with the Holy Spirit is going to bear you along, is going to lead you. Doesn't Paul write about the Holy Spirit leading us? That involves giving us ideas, giving us thoughts, but also energizing us, moving us. And how many times have you found yourself, the Spirit of God has filled you up. And you found yourself in a place where you're bold. You're actually talking to somebody about Jesus. And you're watching words come out of your mouth that those aren't your words. I mean, they are, but they aren't. You know what I mean? You know what I'm talking about. That word connotes also not only just a filling up and a bearing along, but it also connotes this idea of permeation. There is a verse, interesting, in John's Gospel, chapter 12, I think it is. Jesus comes to Mary and Martha and Lazarus' house. And Mary kneels at his feet. She takes this very expensive perfumed ointment, and she begins to anoint Jesus' feet with it. And John records this. He says, the whole house was filled, plerao, was filled with the fragrance of the perfume. So the whole house was permeated with it. The idea, I think, is that when we're filled with the Spirit, not only are we born along, but our life is permeated. Every aspect of our life, people get around us and they just sense there's something different. You don't exactly glow, but the closest thing to it. You just... You know, Isaiah talks about the glory of the Lord going before you and him being your rear guard. Amen. That your whole life is permeated with the Holy Spirit, with the life of God, with the power, the energy, the dunamis of God. And then there's a fourth connotation that word picks up, and that is the idea of domination. You ever been dominated by something like an emotion? We've heard this, and he was filled with rage, right? Filled with silliness. So this idea that your life is dominated by something, and that's the same word. So I'm filled up. But I'm filled up in a way that causes me to be borne along in a certain direction, God's direction. And my life is permeated. My life is controlled and dominated by the Spirit of God. You know what I'm talking about? This is something of what it means to be filled with the Holy Spirit, to be filled with the Spirit of God. You've got to look at your life kind of like this. If you're a Christian, look at yourself as a glove. You're a glove. The glove is just kind of sitting there, right? What does it need to be useful? It needs a hand. And it needs a hand that fits. That glove is useless. It's powerless. It can't do anything unless there's a hand in it. And a hand that has some work to do. And so also the life of the Christian. Our life. We're Christians. Spirit lives here. But unless this life, this glove, is full of that hand, full of the Holy Spirit, this life, this hand, this glove is going to be useless, powerless. You get the... Yeah, does that give some sense? Isn't that a marvelous illustration? I read that. I wish I could claim it for my own, but... Great illustration. But that's what it means. You get a feeling for what it means to be filled with the Spirit of God. That your life is taken over. Your life is not your own. You know we've been bought with a price. That's what the Bible says. We do not belong to ourselves anymore. When you become a Christian, you said, you surrendered your life. You said, Lord, you use me. Here I am, send me. I'm available. You work your way, your will through me. I'm an empty vessel. I've emptied myself of all this other stuff. You've cleansed me. You've caused me to be born again. I'm a brand new creation. You fill me. So we're filled up. We're born along. We're permeated. We're dominated by the Spirit of God. Is it a good thing to be dominated by the Spirit of God? Yes. Can you trust Him? What if He might make you a missionary? Or worse yet, a pastor. Can you really trust God? Can you really do? How do we get filled? That's the real issue, huh? That's the bottom line. How does it happen? I want all this. Tell me how I can get it. Well, first of all, you got to get saved. If you're not a Christian, you got to get born again. You got to get baptized. You got to get indwelt and sealed. Then you can be filled. Now, how does one get filled with the Holy Spirit? There's some very elementary things. It's very, very simple. It has to be simple because we're all commanded to do it. And a lot of us aren't real swift. So again, it has to be simple. I mean, I like things simple. Do you like things simple?
Yes.
I'm absolutely convinced when we get to heaven, God's going to say, I didn't mean for it to be that complicated. We tend to complicate things. And so it's real simple. Well, here's some features, I think, that are important to understand and to remember as we contemplate this idea of being kept filled with the Holy Spirit. First of all, surrender.
Amen.
Simple. Surrender. Give up. Your life is not your own. Anybody experience points of resistance? Here's an area. Well, I can surrender in these things, but give up. Give up. Surrender. What will help you surrender? I think what will help surrender is remember who you are. Who are you? I'm a beautiful child of God. Does God love you? Absolutely. Does He cherish you? Absolutely. Are you precious to Him? Absolutely. See, when you rehearse that, when you remember that, when you practice that moment by moment, it becomes much easier to surrender. It's like kind of like swimming. How many people know how to swim? I want to ask for the people that don't know how to swim. I'm one of them, I know. That's all right. Before you can learn how to swim, you got to learn how to what? Float. You gotta learn how to float. And before you can learn how to float, you got to learn how to, guess what? You got to learn how to get to surrender to the buoyancy principle of water. And as long as you fight the buoyancy principle of water, as long as you don't surrender to it, as long as you don't really believe that that water will hold you up, you'll never swim. Surrender. Well, you say, well, how do I learn that? Practice. Practice. Just stay in the pool. Keep practicing. You'll catch it. You'll get it. What does staying in the pool mean for the Christian? Hang around with the things of the Spirit. Amen. What are the things of the Spirit?
Bible.
Good. Quick. You see that? Quick. Prayer? You say prayer would be something of the Spirit? Sure. Yesterday in my roots class, as we concluded the roots class, we've been talking about prayer and roots. One of the ladies came up to me after class. She says, I need to know more about prayer. I said, wonderful. She says, can you direct me to a good book? I said, I sure can. What book do you think I directed her to? Amen. That's the best book on prayer. And I said, she says, well, I read the Bible. I said, then turn to the book of Psalms. I said, you want to know prayer? You turn to the book of Psalms. You know what the Psalms are? They are prayers that God has written and given to men so that men would know how to pray to God. Isn't that nice of God? I said, you open to the book of Psalms. You start reading from Psalm 1 clear through Psalm 150. You'll find a prayer for everything. And I said, you just start praying them. Make them yours. You own them. Over and over and over. Immerse yourself in the things of the Spirit. Expose yourself to the things of the Spirit. The Bible. Prayer. Christian fellowship. How in the world do you expect to be filled with the Spirit if you're not around other Christians? We are interdependent. We need each other. That's why mini church is so important to your life as a Christian. To be in that group of people. They can encourage you, pray with you, and you can do the same things for them. So you gotta surrender to the process. You got to surrender yourself to the things of the Spirit. You've literally got to slay your own self-will so that more and more and more each day it comes out of your mouth, out of your heart. Not my will, but yours be done. Not my will, but yours be done. You're a beautiful child of God. Remind yourself of that. Remember that. Rehearse that. Remind yourself and remember and rehearse also that this body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. If you're a parent and you have a house guest and you have little children and the house guest is desiring some quiet and some peace, you tell little children, shh, we have a house guest. Keep the noise down. See, you remind yourself of what's true. And as you do that, you move yourself more and more and more in a posture whereby the Holy Spirit will be able to fill you. But if you're not doing these things, if you're still seeking and trusting in the things of this world to meet those needs, you'll not be postured in a position, in a way, in a manner in which the Spirit of God will fill you. You want to be filled with the Holy Spirit? You want to know God's power? You want to know true happiness and fulfillment, joy, peace? You want God to work in your life and through your life? You want your Christianity to be vital? Real? You want your Christianity to be such that, I mean, you get up in the morning, you're excited. You say, "Woo, God, I don't know what we're going to do today. I can hardly wait to wake up in the morning." I'm going to get up today. We've got to go to church. Man, I can hardly wait to get here.
Amen.
I can hardly wait to preach. I can hardly wait. I could keep you here for hours. You know that. Some of you love it, I know.
Amen.
God bless you. Be filled with the Spirit. Surrender your life to the Spirit. Lord, your will be done. When you bump into those points of resistance, surrender them. Surrender them. Humble yourself. Yes, God, I will forgive. I will love. I will serve. I will get up and go. You'll never do it unless first you're immersing yourself in the things of the Spirit. You're exposing yourself to the things of God. That your thinking is so taken, so filled with the things of God, that your life is transformed, that you truly are a person who is permeated by the Spirit of God. And your faith will be exciting. Your life will be thrilling. We don't know. God uses the humblest vessel. You walk down the street and you look at somebody and they're sick, and all of a sudden you say, God says, pray. And you come and you say, silver and gold have I none, but in the name of Jesus, get up and walk. And the person gets up and walks. Whoa. Or you encounter someone who you would just never imagine in your wildest dreams would ever become a Christian, and yet you walk up to him and say, do you know Jesus Christ? And they say, no! And you just begin to preach the gospel with the anointing of God's Spirit, and they become a Christian right on the spot. They fall down weeping at your feet, and you're going... doing God's things, God's way, with His power. Be filled with the Spirit. Be being kept filled. You cannot live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit, without His power. Everything else is wood, hay, and stubble. Amounts to nothing. Your best efforts in your flesh amount to nothing. Let's pray.